sorry, the bottom of Lamed Tet, Amud Bet, all right, with the Rav Chelbo is the last line. All right, so, up there. Rav Chelbo Chalash. Chelbo is sick. So, Napa Rav Kahana Akris. So, Rav Kahana went out and announced Rav Chelbo Boish. Lo Ika the Ka'ati. So then he announced that he was sick. And meaning that he wanted people to come visit him. Right? There was nobody who was coming to visit Rav Chelbo. Amalu, he said to them, look, is this not the case by one of the students of Rabbi Akiva, Shechala, right, that was sick? And lo niknechsu chachamim levakro. That he chachamim, and it didn't go in to visit him, that he wasn't getting any visitors. And nechnas Rabbi Akiva levakro. And then Rabbi Akiva instead went in. We knew that Rabbi Akiva himself went to visit him. Obishvil shekibdo, beribtzel lefanav chaya. And because he was mechabed him with a visit, and he took care of him when he was there, the chole, he lived. Meaning that it helped him out. That visit was a quote-unquote life-saving visit. Now, whether Rabbi Akiva himself did this, the Rush, for some reason, I don't know why the Rush does it, but he says that Rabbi Akiva himself didn't do it, but tzivui Rabbi Akiva. At the command of Rabbi Akiva, they took care of the chole, not that Rabbi Akiva himself did it. Although, to me, it sounds from the Gemara that Rabbi Akiva himself was the one who took care of the chole. So, Amalei, Rabbi Hichiyatani. Hichiyatani, you have brought me life, meaning that you have helped me out. Yotzu Rabbi Akiva v'dorosh. Akiva went out and was dorosh. Kol shme'ein v'bakir cholim v'kilu shofich tamim. Someone who does not visit the sick, it's as if he has killed. It's as if he's shofich tamim.
The Rishonim talk all about why they didn't visit, why nobody did visit.
Yeah, no, I didn't see anything so far either, but it's Rabbi Chelbo, so I don't know what...
I wonder if they were
afraid, or they didn't, you know, were they not aware, were they afraid, were they...
It's hard to say they weren't aware, because Rabbi Akiva was aware.
Right, but he was his rabbi, so I don't know, or they were Miyayish, they were Miyayish from them, I'm not sure, right, it's not clear to me why they...
Why they didn't visit.
All right, but Rabbi Akiva, so you have you know, this drasha that it's koshen, you know, we know for, you know, the shofech tamim, then it's called mevayish, right, the chaver barabim, it's kilu shofech tamim, and here's another one on the list, the kilu shofech tamim, if someone is not mevakir cholim, is kilu shofech tamim. So now, kiat rab dimi, amar, kol mevakir tachol, anybody visit the sick, kogim lo shiichya. That he causes him to live. Anybody that does not visit the chole, gorim lo shiyomut. It causes him to die. My grandma. What's causing this? What do you mean? He causes him to live. He causes him to die. Anybody who visits the sick, then he will ask for rachamim. That he'll daven for him. He'll see his situation, and then he'll daven for him. Right? And anybody who doesn't visit the sick will ask them to die. Shimot, why is he going to ask him to die? Right? Someone who does not visit the sick does not know the daven for him whether he should live or should die. So this again, this comes back to the Gemara that we saw together in Kesubos and Kuf Dalet. Right? This is one of the sources. Right, for the possible fact that you may daven that someone should die. Right? We never think of it that way. Here the Gemara is suggesting that one who goes to the back of the chole will know what to daven for. They'll know to daven whether he should live or whether he should die. As opposed to the other side, if any of the back of the chole doesn't know that information. So what does that mean? She yichye o she yomut. Right? That's a... So the Rosh, if you look at the Rosh, and the last, it's in the widest lines of the Rosh. Do you guys have the same layout here? It's about probably a couple lines into your Rosh. Like one, you know, a couple lines.
But he was a masculine.
The masculine, you know, actually, the Rakham, let's see if he was the
Yamun. Yeah, it's very dear.
It starts at the
end of the
now.
Okay.
Okay. And actually, the Rakham, let's see if he was the Yamun. Vizu, he ra'a. This is a terrible thing. Shemayam Avakro, had he visited him, Hayam Vakish Allah Rachamim. The Efshar, she'eit batzonhu, it might be at the time an eight batzon, itiye niflat tefilato nishmat, umni'ut habikur gorim shiyumot. And the, right, the lack of the visit is, you know, good enough that it would stop him from dying. So the Rosh seems to ignore one side of the equation, right? The rest just says, right, that it says shiyumot, shiyachiyah for slow yumot. Lo shiyachiyah, but lo shiyumot, right? So the Rosh only addresses the yachiyah side of it and says, oh, it could be an eight foot zone. And because he doesn't daven, that will cause him to die. It seems almost to be the right, almost the first layout of the Gemara. He almost ignores the other side of Lo Shiyumot. But the Ran, on the other hand, that's the first Ran on the page, or second, Boyishchal. Ei mevakas shalav rachem lo shechemot. Nir beinai tehaki kamar pamim shitzorech tevakesh rachem alcholas shiyumot. There are times when you need to ask that a cholah should die. Kagon, shemitzdara cholah becholyo harbe. Person is what? Very sick. Ve'i efshar lo shiyachya, and it's an impossibility that he will live. Kamina beperkan. They'll say, what's his proof? What's his proof? The shifcha derabi. Kevin the chazai amte derabi da'al kamazin in the beta kisev anach telem the kamitzdara. Right, that the Rebbe's Shifcha sees that he has to get up, take his tefillin on and off. He's going to the bathroom on a continuous basis. It's a pain. Become it's our amrei hiratzon. Shikofu ha'elyonim et ha'tachtonim. Right, that the elyonim Hashem should take Rebbe away from the students down below. Klomar dilimot or dilimot Rebbe. That Rebbe should die. So that's the
Rebbe Yochanan also. No? They, okay. Rebbe Yochanan, didn't they? Weren't they misspell that? He said something to Rish Lakish.
I don't remember. I know they're going to Brachos, they're going to visit him.
Rabbi Yochanan
asked him why he was flying.
Right, he's flying. Oh, and then about the beauty in his arm, but I don't remember. It's very possible. I don't know why it's not coming to me right now.
Rabbi Yochanan, after Rish Lakish.
Rabbi Yochanan himself was misspelled.
He went nuts or something, and then afterwards they were misspelled that he.
Because he said once Rish Lakish died. And he said he had nobody to.
No,
Chavrusa.
Right.
No, Chavrusa.
The Bikishal of Rachman. Right.
Right.
Okay.
To shorten the Mishnah Berurah, Chol on Shabbos. I want to say it a little quietly at the end. So it's important for what you're doing.
Okay, so you're going to say that this idea that. It's the next Gemara.
Also, that it can be involved to help a person. It's also going to be done.
Right, so that's next Gemara. So next one.
Also, from the Chayim Argo.
Right. When he comes back.
Right.
Amazing. But this idea that, so again, this comes back to this discussion we had in Ksubos, whether number one is one allowed to withhold treatment or, allowed to, quote unquote, allow someone to die and not make all efforts for them to live. So some being a proof from this Gemara in the Darn is another proof that possibly that you can have mispalash to yamot. Now there are others who disagree and say that's all the Gemara allows is tefillah, because tefillah still lives it up to Hashem, but that just means that we still make the efforts, but we daven that the person should not survive. But it is a part of that machlokas that we just discussed in Ksubos about whether one is allowed to, again, withhold treatment or allow someone to pass away, being that that's a better alternative, that there is a quality of life issue, whether there is a reason to not say that Chaye Shah are Chaye.
It tends to have someone like Rebbe, let's say, not that we could ever actually know, judge a person there, but someone like Rebbe, who it was pretty clear to everybody that he was on such a high madriga. But for others, we say that, the suffering that they have is certain that it diminishes what awaits them, of us. So is it really good to be in this battle at this early?
Right. That's interesting. But the question is, sometimes it's good for the fellow to die, right? Who makes that judgment? Or what makes that
judgment? That's the thing. To do the best. Right. Diamond to do the best thing.
Right, but that's not. I mean, the Gemara does not say that, but I hear that is definitely a solution, which is to be levakish alav rachamim, right? And that's
and the Shem decide what that rachamim
should be. Right, that's the Gemara Tanis. suggested that one should not daven for a shidduch, a specific shidduch, because maybe that's not their, right, that's not their proper zivug. And they're going to be davening about someone's not their zivug, that you should daven stam, that you should have it, that Hashem should bring you the proper shidduch and not be directed towards one individual. So you can say the same thing here, that they directed tefillah to Hashem, that he should make the best choice. But again, I think the Gemara is explicit that it's L'shiach Yesh Le'emot, and the Ran is even more explicit that there's a time when you have to daven and that someone should pass away. All right, I just wanted to point it out before we...
We don't know what's good. What we're asking for, if it's good, then we know it.
Very good. Exactly. Hey, Rava. So this is what Gedalia was suggesting over here. Yomakadma the Chalish. First day he was sick. Amalhon lo tiglu the inish. Don't tell anybody that I'm sick on the first day. The lo litra mazli. That his mazel should not deteriorate. Now it's unclear to me what this means. Lo litra mazli. Rashi over here suggests to do him explano the altar. Maybe I'll daven right away, or you know. Or inami delishtai mili aloi, that they won't think badly of me, they won't cause me to, you know, get sicker. Whereas the Rosh says, a little bit dramazle, he says, because you're in a bad predicament, then why go bakasha mu'etid, shivakesh son o, maybe a small request by those that hate him, rato yutosef cholyo, he'll get sicker. Because yeah, you're ready, you know, he's going to punch him when he's down, basically. So I don't want to let the other guys get a lead on me here, so I don't want to say anything. But, mikan ve'elech, from here on in, is what Gedai was saying, I'm alone, poko v'achrisu b'shuka. Go out and tell everyone I'm sick. Make an announcement. Dechol, the sunny li, the chudei li. First of all, anybody who hates me will be happy. Uchtib in folo yvecha al tismach. Again, this is strange to me. He says, and when you're, you know, because the pasuk says, when you're, even fall, do not rejoice. And therefore, they'll be in violation of that allowed somehow, that before they smack, and therefore they will be less efficacious in
the whole pasuk, but before they have to smack,
hey,
you're Hashem, the rabbi, now they should be allowed to
pass. Oh, okay, so that's it.
So, in other words, even in Rabbi's best interest, if his enemies rejoice,
that it will take it away. Rachimli, those that love me, Levi Eli, Rachimli. Will ask for a rachamim, will daven for me. So that's the idea of the Mishaberach thing. Allow there are people here that want to sick, that they will go ahead and daven for the chole. Alright. I don't know. The city. He worked in a big city. And, you know.
That issue judgments, right?
Right, so that's why I say it's famous, the famous line at the end of the Megillah. It says about Mordechai, Ratzui, the Rov Achav, right? And the Ebenezer says. And the Ebenezer says there, that's how you know he's a good leader. Because if he's Ratzui, the Rov Achav, then he's not a good leader. If you are Ratzui, the Rov Achav, then he knows he's doing a good job. Because there's no way to please everybody. If you're pleasing everybody, then you're probably not doing very much. Shinema.
If you're displeasing everybody, that's also not a good time.
Right, it still's got to be rolled back out. That's always a bit. It's me or that guy that still doesn't do the job.
He must be phenomenal.
I'm around. I call him a vakar, so I call him, he told me, Dina shall Gehenim. Anybody who visits a chola is saved in the din of Gehenim. Shinema. Ashrei maskilo ba'al, v'yomra al yomilteyu Hashem. So the one who looks to the, you know, takes care of the needs, or looks to see what is with the Tao, meaning here we're going to translate Tao as Chole, right? Tao, I'm a poor person, but when he's poor with health, right? B'yom ra'ah, yom lateo Hashem. In the day, bad day, Hashem will save him. In the bad day, we're going to refer to as Genom. Ein Tao, el Chole. The term Tao refers to Chole, Shenemar, Midla Yivtse Eini, right? Or Midalak Yivtse Eini, right? From the sickness, from ill, you should save me. Inami minadeng pro. You can learn from this pasuk. Aduata kachadal ben hamelech baboker baboker. Why are you so green right in the morning? Meaning that what's dal being here being a chulet. Ein ra'ah elegehenim. Gehenom. We had this actually earlier in the Gemara. Because it says, Shnemar kol pal Hashem liman ehu. Right? All those that work for Hashem, v'gam hashah liyom ra'ah. Right? Kol pal Hashem liman ehu is for him, v'gam hashah liyom ra'ah. And then the rasha is saved for the bad day. V'im biker, and if he does visit him, mascharo. What's the reward? Mascharo. What do you need to know? Kedamar nitzo megino shalano. You already said that. If he visits, he's safe from getting. What do you mean? What is this? Elamaskaro, Balamazet. What's this? Karnislam. Shem Yishmireyu Vichayeyu Vaushir Baritz. Taltineu Benevisho Vav. Shem Yishmireyu Mietzahara. Hashem will save him from the Etzahara. Vichayeyu Mina Yisirim. And he'll let him live without Yisirim. Vaushir Baritz. And it'll be rich in the land, right? Or be plentiful in the land. You call him Mitzkab Dimbo, that everybody will give, you know, be Mitzkabate by him, you know, giving him honor, or realize honor from him. So that he'll have friends that come to him like Naaman, Shripe et Sarato, that cured his Tsaras, meaning that Naaman ends up by Elisha, tells him to go to the Yarden to dip, and he gets rid of his Tsaras. And he won't have friends or advisors like Rechavam, Rechavam ben Shlomo, Rechavam the son of Shlomo, shechilku et machuto, that caused his machus to be divided. What's that? Tanya. Shimon Omer, Aben Azor Omer, Im Yomru Lecha Yiladim, I mean, this is just a play, I'm not going to explain it just because Christ is going to explain it in a second. Shimon Azor Omer, Im Yomru Lecha Yiladim, Bena, or Benei, build, Iskanim store, and Iskanim say destroy. Shmuel is a Kanim, listen to Iskanim, Yati Shmuel Yiladim, don't listen to the young ones. Don't listen to the young whippersnappers, take advice from those that are seasoned. Right? Binyan Yiladim Stira, because the building of the young one sometimes is destruction. It was Stirat Kenim, and sometimes the destruction of Kenim Binyan is building. Siman Ladavar, what's the Siman Ladavar? Rechavam ben Shlomo. Rechavam the son of Shlomo. What happens by Rechavam the son of Shlomo? The people come to him and say that the taxes and the burdens of your father are too great because Shlomo had imposed heavy taxation for to build the base of Megdash. Right, he acts and
Shlomo was smart enough to be able to control
pull it off. Right. At, so that's interesting. I hadn't noticed this in the past, but I remember Silber points out that in the beginning of Malachim, the lashon that's used by Shlomo matches very similar to that of Paro in Mitzrayim. That first of all, he marries Bat Paro, but he also appoints Sari Misim, and he's Obed the Am Baruch. He does a lot of things that are reminiscent of Paro ben Mitzrayim in terms of subjugating the Am to build the base of Mikdash. So when his son shows up, the Mikdash is built already, and his son is continuing this. So he asks for advice from after the people come to ask him to relax the taxes. So the elders tell him that he should, acquiesce to the people's request and relax. And the young whippersnappers say, you know what, tell them.
His buddies.
Right. You think my father was bad, I'm going to double what my father did. I'm going to make it worse. Right? You think Shlomo was bad, Rechavam ben Shlomo is going to be even meaner. And that's causes the people to rebel, and then eventually split them up as Yerubbaal ben Nevat comes to power.
Probably the worst advice that any king of Israel ever received.
So that's what they're saying here, that you have sometimes you'll have friends who advise you properly. That's one, not like Rechavam ben Shlomo, but rather like Elisha for Naaman, right? And number two is that when you have advice from those that are seasoned, and then rather than those that are young, right, you should take the advice from those that are seasoned. All right. A person should not visit a sick person, not in the first 3 hours, the first 3 hours of the day, not the last 3 hours of the day. So they won't stop davening for him. Why? If he comes in the first 3 hours, Chola tends to be doing better. When he first wakes up in the morning, he's feeling a little stronger. He just got rested. He's doing a little new day. He's doing okay. But right, at the end of the day, he's very, very weak. So the problem is, what if he comes in the first 3 hours, he's going to see he's healthy. He's not going to feel as compelled to daven for him. If he sees in the last 3 hours of the day, he's going to have yayish. He's going to have yayush on him, and he's not going to want to daven for him. Or, like we said above, he'll even daven that he should possibly die, because it'd be too much. So if you have to visit him at a time when the sickness is apparent, right? But not at a time when the sickness is overwhelming, right? That it's too much. Okay. Amar Rav Minayin Shekodesh Baruch Hu Zanet HaCholet. How do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu feeds the choler, takes care of the choler? Shemar Hashem Yisadenu El Erz Devai. So again, Yisadenu, above we use the word Yisid, at least Ode is to visit. Over here, again, Hashem Yisadenu from the word Suda, very good. From the Suda, Al Erz Devai, on his deathbed, or his, his sick bed. Amarav, Minayin Sheshchina Shvuya L'mala Mitzato Shel Cholet. How do you know that the Shechina is Shore at the head of a bed of the Cholet? Because you know Hashem Yisadenu El Erz Devai. Hashem visits, right? Here Yisadenu visits, Misa'id, or again, is feeding, but is taking care of the one on his deathbed. It sounds like everybody. Someone who comes in to visit a cholah can't sit on a bed, not on a bench, not on a seat. He should wrap himself up, yoshev al gavi karka, and sit on the floor. The Shechina is Shore at the head of the bed of a Cholesh, and Rasemi said, then there's the Vai. So this is important halacha. Now the Ran points out, because I think, assuming everybody here has visited a Cholesh and sat on a chair, so what's going on here in the Gemara?
Or at the very least, he's probably not wrapped himself and sat on the floor.
Right. So the Ran says over here, so Ikaman da Omar, there are those that say, right, the davka shachol is shochev al gabei karka. So then, when the chol is lying on the floor, it's in the round lo yishev al gabei mita. In the round lo yishev al gabei mita. It's about halfway down in the round, but halfway down the pitch. Right, igamad damar the davka shachol is shochev al gabei karka. These rules apply when the chol himself is on the karka. Therefore, the shechina is down low. Therefore, you are restricted from being above the level of the shechina. Right. Because you're above the level of Shekhinah. But when the chol is on a bed, and you would sit next to the bed, right, or you would, be on a bench next to the bed, that would be okay, because it would still be either a level or below the level of the Shekhinah. So it would be inappropriate, that's what the Ran says. It would be appropriate to be in such a position that you are, overlooking over almost the cholet, because then you would be above the shechina that rests at the top of his bed. But if you're on the level with the cholet or below, meaning that you sit on a chair that's right by the bed, then it should be fine, because you'd be level with the shechina. So it's a din of respect for the shechina that's present.
And the manifesto, that's compared to
contesting at the, yeah, I don't know how to look, but the seriousness, that the charid, that a person feels a certain amount of awe when they're in the presence of the shechina. Right, so that's what we find in general. When someone's nitatif, that they're going out, they're doing something that's of greater. The Gemara uses it also like in Shabbos. Gemara in Shabbos, when they were going out to be Makabal of Shabbos, that they are nitatif, petitis, they are nira, kemalach, kemalach, Hashem, tzvakos, who look like kemalach.
What?
Yeah, but Beisdin, when they're going to write judge, they're also the Shechina Shore there. Again, it's a din of, I think, being chorid, that they feel a certain amount of, fear, especially.
It's a good way to start when you come back in cold. It's a good way to start comforting the sick person. And I said, by the way,
Right, the skin is there.
You realize that the skin is, right?
There are some nafkaminas. I think based on this, the Gemara is going to switch gears here, because the Gemara is going to just go off. It's because something that Amar Rav, that he mentioned, he made this statement here that the Zanat Achole and Shekhinah Shrur Lamala, he made several statements, and the Gemara is going to continue to state with him that are not relevant to Bikur Cholim anymore. But just to wrap up, a couple of things that are interesting. One is that the fact that the Shekhinah is showered by the Cholet, right, is important, first of all, in the conduct of the individual, but also important in terms of Tefillah. As the Rosh said above, remember the Rosh said, when you're Mavaka the Cholet, you'll know that you should die for him. He said, because maybe it is an eight baton. I mean, the fact that the Shekhinah is present, right, gives one the ability to make it, to have a tefillah, or to say a tefillah, that is possibly of more value than the Shekhinah is present.
While you're there.
Right, tefillah while you're present, because I'm just saying, based on the fact that the Shekhinah is present, and that the Rosh says that it could be an eight batzon when you go to visit him, I would put those two together and say that it seems to make sense that one should daven when they are there by the cholet, and also that one, again, when one is right, by the presence. I mean, that's part of the reason to visit the chole. We said before, anybody who goes to visit the chole is mechaya him. One is to service the chole. The other one is to daven for the chole, as we said above. That's one of the reasons to daven, that he's mechaya the chole. So there's a reason why you're with the chole, to see what the needs of the chole are, both physically and spiritually, and that davening at that time would be important. I will point out, the Chavetz Chaim, I don't have my sparm, they're still in boxes, but the Chavetz Chaim in Avos Chesed speaks about also that one who is Mavakar HaCholah should also be Me'ubrer the Cholah to Tshuva. That there's an Inyan of the fact that Shekhinah's present, one is Cholah, should be Me'ubrer them to Tshuva, which is not always so easy. Right? To,
You're telling me the reason I'm sick is because I.
To be Me'ubrer them to Tshuva. So I was, I don't know. I'm no hake. I don't have any makor for it, but I am going to say to a chola in general that they should have a refuah shleima me'et Hashem. So to two reasons to do that. One is this gemara here, refuah shleima me'et Hashem, that it should be a tefillah, in a sense that refuah shleima me'et Hashem should act. I mean, the refuah shleima in general should be that, is also that, it's a tefillah, but me'et Hashem gives a little more tokif in terms of tefillah for the chola, but also to put the mind of the chola on it, that the refuah shleima comes me'et Hashem, meaning that it's something that you have to focus on Hashem. So I always did that, so that would be it's a nicer, backdoor way to remind, the chola of focusing on it's me'et Hashem, that maybe that's the tshuva, rather than confronting someone with that, because it's a, right, obviously uncomfortable and unpleasant conversation, possibly. So. There is, that's just general about tefillah. Whenever we have tefillah on, we are kolo. We try to include you in the tefillah, is always barabim. Because, we generally take a tefillah as an individual, we do a tefillah that is barabim, and that's all Shmoneh Esrei is quoted in barabim. And therefore, whenever you talk about nechama, you talk about refuah, you do the same thing. Those tefillahs are those. Still, it should be inclusive of others, right? That they say b'tok shar kol Yisrael, b'tok shar, right, avla Yisrael, b'tok shar, right? That you should, that you're not alone. So those two items have, one is that all tefillot are barabim, one aspect. The other aspect is that it should give comfort in the sense that you're not alone. And there are others that are holy. You're not alone. I mean, I don't know if it gives so much comfort, but but it is the fact that there are other holy, and that they get better, and that there is such a cycle in life is important.
People kind of circulate
better again, right? So that's the importance in mentioning others, which comes down in my book is another tefillah, whether you can have a tefillah that is addressed in the yochid. It's like things like, for instance, a mapil at night, and maybe a tefillah sederech. Certain instances where they are, that there are different nisfot tefillah, you can see some of them are in a biyachid.
My brother says specifically that
says there are
dafkas
and rabbim. Right, he does say
rabbim,
although
if you're alone.
Right, it does say that, but the Mishnah Berurah says the Gemara does not bring it, but it's many of the nisfot have it in lashon yachid.
Is that why you say mafinach
mitzvah,
even if it's one
person? Right, it's a
possible. Even though it's a single individual, right, I think the Rav was mocking on that. There's some people who would not, but the Rav I think was mocking on that, because the idea that there is this idea of Shar Avli, right, Shalari Tzion Yishlaim, is that's part of the Nechama. Part of the Nechama is that you're part of the larger group of people. And alright. Now, this is a Gemara that we've seen before in Shabbos. It's a Gemara that's difficult. Very short Gemara, okay, but it's very difficult. It's not conceptually, but the way the Rishonim interpret it makes it more difficult, because it's major machlokas of Rishonim. Because I had explained this Gemara, yes, that Ron is on those three lines of Gemara. Not only does that Ron take up the entire page, the Ron continues through most of the next Talmud. The majority of the next Talmud is taken up with this Ron, discussing this Gemara over here. So the white lines in the Ron there, that's all about the previous Talmud. So these three lines in the Gemara. All right, we'll read them. I'm going to read them simply, and then we can discuss what the issues are for Tzvi's advice. All right. Amarav. Matro b'marovo, if there is rain in Eretz Yisrael, today, right, there's rain in Eretz Yisrael, sadarabo prat. Evidence of that is the swelling of the river of Prat. And the river of Prat swells when there's rain in Eretz Yisrael, because I just say Eretz Yisrael is higher than other lands. The runoff of the water from Eretz Yisrael went down. I don't know if they say it runs down to the lower areas. Bavel was definitely lower. And since Bavel was lower, the feeding of the Prat would be helped by the rain in Eretz Yisrael. Upliga de Shmuel. This is an argument on Shmuel. Darma Shmuel. Nara mikibe mit barich. All right, mit barich. That the argument, there's a machlokus in the Amoraim, what drives the swelling of a river? Why does a river swell? So is it because there is runoff rain in the mountains and snow that melts in the mountains, and that's what drives the river? Or is it the Kipe Mitbar? It's from the internal river itself. From underneath the river, it swells. The water underneath the river comes up and swells. So there are, we sort of point out here that we know, anybody, you know, it's clear that when it rains, the river swells. So what's the habit mean to say otherwise? I mean, that it's so clear, the evidence is so clear that when it rains, rivers swell. Why would you? How could you have another opinion? Very good. Very good. Excellent. So the Gemara Tanis, the Rishonim quote the Gemara Tanis here that says that kol, right, tefach of rain that falls from above, ole shnei tefachim milamata, two tefachim come up from below, then meet the tefach that comes from above. So yes, the rain, right, causes the river to swell, but that swelling is engendered or majority driven by the water coming up from below. So that has, and we'll see why it has an afkamino, right, but that's the explanation of this. Obligated Shmuel to Shmuel. And Shmuel himself disagrees what he says here. What's that? Amar Shmuel. Eina mayim metaharim bezochalim. Water is not metahar when it is flowing. Ela prat biyomei tishrei bilvad. Except for the nahar prat in tishrei alone. Except for the nahar prat in tishrei alone, one cannot use running water as a mikveh. Alright? Now we'll see in a second why. I'll just read the last line of the Gemara, and then we will take some time to explain it. Abu Adi Shmuel, Shmuel's father, Avadahom Mikvaot, Livinate, used to make mikvaos to his daughter, for his daughter, the Yomi Nisan, in the springtime. Mefatze Biyomi Tishrei, and he used to put up mats in the fall time. So those mats are easy to use for, we're showing here, bring down two alternative explanations. One is for Tznius. He used to put up mats to give them sneeze when they went down to the rivers to use the river as a mikveh, or they put down mats on the floor of the riverbed. It's because the river got muddy. When in the springtime they would reach the bottoms and it would be muddy, and the mud would be a chatzitza for them. So you'd put down mats in the bottom of the river to stop them from sinking into the mud in the river. Those are two possibilities of why they put out mefatze and yomei tishrei. All right. So what is going on here? All right. So now, I'll just say that we're spared here mostly from the other Rishonim, because the other Rishonim really appear in the other Gemarot about, and they explain this Gemara differently. And the Gemara in Shabbos has the same issue about what the problem here is in the Gemara. We're going to go, basically, here the Rosh and the Ran basically have the same opinion of what the issue is, and then we can discuss the details. So what do we know about a mikveh? Right, a mikveh has to be from rain water, right? It has to be, it can't be drawn water, it can't be piped in water, right? It has to be from pure rain water, but one of the requirements of a mikveh is that it has to be ashboren. It cannot be moving. It has to be captured in a single place, in a single location. So the need for rainwater, right, allows one to go to the mikveh if the water is captured in a still place. And that's our mikvahs today. Use that. They use rainwater. They're captured in a single location. We go to an enclosed mikvah, and that's how you go to the mikvah. There are other mikvahs, like when you go up to the mikvah and spot, and so on and so forth, where you have what's called mayim chayim, live water, live spring water.
Ice.
Okay, so the live spring water is, for those who've gone, you know, right, so the live spring water does not have to be ashboren, does not have to be standing still. I mean, it actually might have, it can be flowing, meaning that it can be moving. Right, that zochalim, flowing water, is okay if it comes from a mayan, it comes from a live underground source. So that's one afkamina. The other afkamina is how much you need. In a mikvah, the requirement is mem sol. Whereas in a zochalim, in a mayan, koshuhu is sufficient. I mean that you don't have the requirement of mem sol by mayan. So those are the two afkamina.
You can submerged pool,
right? Right, which might bring you back to cell, but it might have nafkaminas for like kalim and stuff like that that don't require. I'm saying for humans it may not have nafkamina because the assessment of what 40 saw is enough for a rosh of a rubo to get into. So by human it may not make a difference, but make it like a makta. Take a needle, if you have small items that you need to be mitahir, make a difference if it's in a mikvah of mensah versus el kalim, which could be much less. Alright, so now that's the basic halacha here. So now what's the problem? The problem is that you have rain coming, you have a river, the Prat. So the river Prat is fine to go into as a mikveh. Why? Because it's coming from a natural source, as a mayan. It has a source in the mountains, wherever it comes from. Right, and therefore, you could go and be dipped in the mikveh of the Prat by just jumping in the river. Right, that should be a sufficient mikveh. What's the problem? The problem is when it rains. Right, when it rains, now the rain is generating a part of the river flow. What do we know about rain? Rain only works, right, as a shvorin, to be gathered together. Rain is only sufficient to be used for a mikvah be'ashvon when it's collected in a single location, not when it's moving. So now you have a problem. What's the problem here? The problem here is that, what we said before, Sada Rabba, the big evidence of rain in Eretz Yisrael is what? That the Prat swells. The Nahar Prat swells. So if Nahar Prat swells, that means that it's rainwater that is driving the Nahar Prat. If the rainwater is driving the Nahar Prat, it's no longer valid as a mikvah because you have rainwater that is flowing. Rainwater that is flowing does not work as a mikvah.
So you don't have the reverse. And it looks like by mikvah of rainwater, once you have the memstah, it doesn't matter if you pour other water in afterwards, right? It's once you have the memstah, it's...
It might be. Right, but it's not possible. You don't say it right.
That causes the change of appearance. Maybe that's... But if you just add, pour water that's not, rainwater, that doesn't cause the effect. You don't say the reverse, if you have...
So the Rush says that. The Rush asks your question. He says, "Below Amar Kama Kama Batil." We don't say that each drop that goes in there is Batil. Tishchol Dabar Shedarko Ligadel. Something that's normal to grow. Vagam Gadel B'li Hefsek. And grows without any stopping. Below Amar Kama Kama Batil. We don't say the first one is Batil. And since it's something that continues to grow and continues to flow, we don't say that, therefore, the first one drop is Batil, and then you keep saying it, but rather because it's been all going to keep coming, you know it's going to come, we don't say that anymore. And so that's the Rush. The Rush addresses your issue and asks a question and says that you don't say that here. Alright, so now the issue, so we'll read now, just based on this, we'll read simply the Gemara. Water does not mitire, meaning that rainwater does not mitire when it's flowing. Ella Prat, when can you go into the river Prat? The Yomei Tishrei Bilvad. What is unique about the time of Tishrei? What's unique about the time of Tishrei? Tishrei is the end of the summer. No rain, no snow melting. Because by the end of the summer, all the snow is melted, and all the rain, there's been no rain for a sufficient amount of time. The river is running at its lowest, right? Its lowest level. If the river is running at its lowest level, there's no fear of what? There's no fear of rainwater. There's no fear of rainwater, therefore, you can go to the mikveh in the Prat in Yomei Tishrei. Then Avod Shmuel did what? Avod Shmuel, in Nisan, Avadahin Mikvah Olibnate. In Nisan, what's Nisan? Nisan is the spring. The spring has runoff, water runoff, plus snow melting. And therefore, the almost, right, for sure, right, the waters, if you go out in the Yarden the same way, if you go up to the Banyas in the springtime, right, that is running very high and very fast, the water. Why? Because the snow's melting, the rains, you had the whole rainy season, there's tons of water coming down. So therefore, it's almost for sure what that is, the Zochalin are overwhelming the river, and therefore you can't use the river as a mikveh. So that's what? He made them separate mikvahs. Avod Shmuel, Shmuel's father had to make, it sounds like Benate for his daughter, sounds like for his Shmuel's sisters, right, that he made them mikvos in Nisan because of that issue. That issue that you can't use the prop. Whereas in Yomei the Tishrei, he made them either, we said, barriers for tznius, or barriers to go into the, for the floor of the river, because where were they going to the mikvah in Tishrei? In the river. They're going into the Prat, because then we know for sure at that time that the Prat is good for a mikvah. that's the easiest way to learn the Gemara. Again, there are Rishonim in Gemara Shabbos, other places that learn this Gemara backwards and different, and learn the whole problems are different. When is it Nofim? When is it Chalim? I'm not even going to get into those Rishonim. Well, I'll deal with the Rishonim that are here in the dark, like the Rush and Ron here, to disagree about exactly what is transpiring here, what are the issues here. So according to the... over here. So the if you look in the Rush, towards in the previous somewhat, the last lines in the Rush, last one or two lines in the Rush, as he says, "Behindu taima de lashon mikveh." Do you see this? I don't know if you know. Do you see that? To the last couple lines.
The twins are at the end of the second to last line.
Okay, yeah, it's the end of the second to last line. You have the same format there. Alright. Final time the Lashon, Mikveh, Mashma, Ashboren, below Zachlin. Mikveh means lick, Kabotre means bring together. So Mikveh means to collect and not to flow. Kiktavi, Kavu Hamayim el Makom Echad. By the embrace, it says that the Mayim should gather together in one place. Whereas of Hamayan, and Mayan is Benzoch el Ben Omeid, from Makom Echad Nikra Mayan. Mayan is called something that is flowing, meaning that its source is from the flow, but it could be stationary or it could be flowing, meaning it could be filling a area, and you can use it as a mikvah, or it could be filling a river that is flowing. Mikomakom, right, ilav ach techilat ha-makshinim mikvah, the Mayan, that's her b'schila. Right, so there, the Mishnah in Mikvos learns that ach, that it says ach, ma, ach, and as the pasuk starts, ach, Mayan, where's the pasuk? But he should have to go Ela Mayan. So the Mishnah in Mikvos darshens from the word Ach that it's limited to Mayan, that only flowing waters work by Mayan, but as by Mikveh, then it only works by stationary waters. So that's what we said before. That's the basic background of these. So if you turn the page in the Rush here, so a prat b'yomit tishrei. What's the reason yomit tishrei? Shu nar gadol. It's a large river. Ve'enu gadel ala b'mata meruba. That takes tons of rain to get the river to swell. Aval b'yomim nisan gadol prat mirub matar shel yivotu kishamim. In the springtime, it definitely has rainwater in it because you have so much rain over the rainy season. V'chein narot k'tanim. Smaller rivers, gedelim afilu b'yomit tishrei. Smaller rivers, even in Tishrei, would be affected by the rainwater. They matmatar, small amounts of rain. So therefore, what? According to the Rush, the Prat is the only river in which you can go to the mikveh. Right? Meaning that in Yom Tishrei, what's the only river you can go to the mikveh in? That's Prat, because Prat is such a big river that it's not influenced by rain by the time Tishrei comes around. But Yom Nisan, even in the Prat, is affected. Number one. And other rivers, never can you go in other rivers because they are always affected by rain. Even small amounts of rain would affect the rivers. That's the Rush's opinion. So the Rush's opinion is the Prat is the exception, not the rule. And it's an exception in the fact that you're allowed to go to the mikvah in Yom Tishrei. Right.
So you say in a drought, you could go to the river even
right.
In the Nisan.
Right, so that's the Ron here. The Ron discusses the mission in Rabbis. I'm going to try to summarize parts of the Ron here. But the Ron himself suggests otherwise. The Ron himself suggests that Prat is just an example of a river that where we know that the height of the river. So the Ron says basically Tishrei is the low points of the rivers. So if you know, if you're a Bucky and you know that a river, right, that rivers in Tishrei, what the level of the river is in Tishrei, then you'll always have a knowledge or understanding of how much, whether the rove is Megishamim, or that the rove is right, the river. You'll always know because you know what the base level of the river is. And that'll apply both to Prat or to any other river. If you know what the base level is, therefore you can use the river. Right? So, Lepishenu Megishamim, Lozman of Shrachkalim, Shlagim. It's not coming to restrict all other narrows, not like the Rush. The Rush is just not Prat, the only one you could go. Everything else is restricted. Ron says, no, it's not to restrict everything else. It's also not to restrict Prat any other time of the year. Then you just got to know two things. So he says, Shmuel comes to teach us two things. Chada, the narrows, Shehim, Mechazdin, Mimeim, Ain't Tobin, Behem, Neolam. Rivers that stop, rivers that dry out, you're never allowed to go in them because you never know what the base level of the river is. If they are known to dry out or to stop, when they cause mechazeh, They trick you. I mean, their levels are never state, they never reach a base level. Since there is no base level, you don't know how to measure when there's no tim or yirbe aleihem, right? When there's too much notim. Right, that's it. Or, and the second thing that Shmuel teaches us is, right, that even, where is the second line? I'm just trying to find it in the Rosh so we can read what he says. The prat, rivers that have base levels, if you don't know what the base level of the river is, you can't go in it any time of the year. If you don't know it, any river you can go. Tishrei, you can go to any river that does never dries out, that has a base level, because you know in Tishrei that you're dealing with the base level of the river. So that applies to any river. Once the rivers begin to swell, if you don't know better, then you can't go in the rivers, but if you do know better, you can go into the rivers. Right, so that's the two chidushim, that's my focus in the Ron and the Rush here. The Rush says that the Gemara is limited to Prat, and Prat is the exception, and the only time you go into Prat is Yom Tishrei. The Ron says, no, Prat is an example. Prat is an example of a river that does not dry out, that has a base level, and it's also an example in Tishrei, where that's the base level for all rivers, you can go into any river at that time. Okay, that's the basic Ron. The Ron goes on from here.
Was the second chidush of Shmuel the second one?
That it applies to every river. I mean, that if in Tishrei, now the first one is that if the river dries out, then you can't go in it ever, because you never know what's the rainwater, what's the base level of the river.
Right.
And the second one is in rivers that don't dry out, then you can go in Tishrei into any river, not just Prat, and if you know the level of the river, you can go anytime if you know that it's not Rabbi Nofim, if you're Bucky in the city. So that's the Ron. The Ron goes on to here to be Mechadish something else, which is the big Chiddush in the Ron here, which he spends a lot of time on, is the Ron has a massive Chiddush here. The way the Gemara reads, simply, is what? That if the Rabbi Nofim, once the rainwater comes up on the river, then the river is possible to go in. You can't use it as a mikveh. The Ron suggests here as a Kiddush, one part of his Kiddush that really goes into the next Talmud, is that when the river swells from the rain, you can still go to the mikveh in the area where the river normally flows. You know, as the river swells, it spreads. So the only thing that's possible for mikveh is the expanded river area. But the center of the river, say the center of the river, where the river normally would flow, that would still be kosher the mikveh. That the Ron suggests that this kosher and posel has to do with where it's not that the notim overwhelmed the river and therefore the whole river is posel, but the notim caused the expansion of the river. That is the problem. The expanded part of the river is a problem, but the river that's in the original location running the original flow, that is not a problem to go to the mikveh, because that still we know is the Zochalin. That's the area that it always flows. It always flows there. That's still not Rabu HaNotim. I mean, obviously, just in my mind, the difficulty is that when rivers swell, they also rise. Right? It's not simply that they swell outward, they also rise to a higher level. If that's the case, then there are notim even in the middle areas. But if for some reason you can identify where the original river is, and the swelling is only to areas that are identifiable, then you could go to the mikveh in the, the wider the river is there for sure. Alright, the Inyan Alokha, the Ron brings down that the Rabbeinu Tam Paskin like Shmuel, that a Nahar expands from its underneath. Because even though Rab argues on him, and Rab and Shmuel, the Alokha is like who? Like Rab Bisure. So he still Paskin's like Shmuel, because Avoa the Shmuel, and even though the father of Shmuel sounds like Rab too, right, and even though Shmuel himself argues on himself, even though he's passing like Shmuel because he brings proof from another Gemara. So now, he says that there are others who disagree, and like the Rach and the Rif, who pass them like Rav and Avod the Shmuel. And the Ramban brings down that we are in a way that even Avod the Shmuel, right, that even Shmuel himself, who argues on Rav and argues on Shmuel, was choshesh lechumra like Avuah de Shmuel, and therefore he said that why was Shmuel was not pligi Shmuel de Shmuel? That Shmuel was arguing himself that Shmuel believed that Nara me kipei mitbar, that the water comes from inside internally and therefore it's not a problem. But he was choshesh for the other shita, and therefore he would only allow you to go in prat biyome tishrei. And therefore we pass in Ladina, we're passing like Shmuel, but we're choshesh Ladina to the. Right, that you have to be choshesh for this other opinion. Okay, so that's the Inyan Halacha. Try just get the basics of what went on in the Sugya and went on in the Ran, we always spend time. The Ran, you know, it's a pretty clear Ran if you read through it, but it's an extensive Ran with regards to these issues.
Which statement
of Shmuel is all quoted on? About Kipe, Kipe is Kipe. He says that it's the rainwater that drives the river. Yeah. That's the Mahogas and Moraim about it. And then here when we say, please, Shmuel to Shmuel, Rav also argues, and Avod Shmuel also sounds like he's supporting the position of Rav, that it's the rainwater, and the rainwater is a problem. All right, so we'll stop here. Continue there.